are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
By the way, welcome to Serious Growth Podcast. And glad to have you here. I know that you've made some really good progress, but I want to just go back further and find out, where did you come from as far as it relates to weightlifting? Are you kind of a new person to the weightlifting environment, or did you start way back when? Talk to us about that.
I am very new. When I was way back in high school and even elementary school, I played soccer. That was about the extent of my athleticism.
Yeah.
Because I went into music and drama, and so I had to keep my appearance up, but it wasn't crucial to actually exercise or anything like that. I had a really high metabolism when I was younger.
Yeah.
And as I've gotten older, my weight, it yo-yos. I mean, 2 years ago, I was at 250 pounds.
Yeah. How tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
Ooh.
Yeah. And it was, I just didn't enjoy it. I felt tired all the time. I felt lackadaisical. And the more I got into trying to exercise, trying different diets, it was, like I said, a yo-yo. I mean, I would lose some weight and I'd feel good about myself. And then I'd just kind of lose interest and get back to where I was.
Yeah, I can relate to you in a major way. I'm an athlete, but by the way, because my kids played soccer, I must tell you, the sport that you picked, it was actually damn good as far as picking a sport that developed different characteristics. I mean, obviously, a person that's playing soccer, you have to do everything that in traditional sports you do with your hands mainly, along with your feet. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of a sudden now your feet are the main guys, right?
Sure,
I mean,
definitely.
That's a difficult discipline. I never really understood how technical that sport was. And I got into it because my kids got into it. And I love watching European soccer because those guys are so, you know, that's their livelihoods basically. And you can tell in the way they play it because of how easy they make the difficult look, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I just, but anyway, where I was going to say, as far as I can relate to you, is that I'm an athlete all my life. Fast forward, you know, the next thing I know, I'm getting married at the age of 27. As an athlete, I really didn't think about staying in shape because I just stayed in shape because I was in athletics. I was always in shape. I never got out of shape, you know.
Right.
27 years of age with two kids and a wife and a job. Oh, hell no. That all changed. The dynamic, you know, and the difference was, is that I didn't understand because I, at 27, I was in the worst shape of my life at that point.
Right.
And I really didn't understand how to get back in the shape because I never had to. I never had to figure that out. It just happened magically, right? So sure. I think I'm right there with you in that it's like, okay, I started trying things, but when you're doing that and you, and trial and error from firsthand experience is a must. But it also has the downside because you have to be willing to fail a lot, which for a lot of people, it kills them. They go off the rails and they use it as an excuse, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So how did you get past that? I mean, I got past it because I started reading Muscle Mags, and that took me from one place to the other on that. And I got
right.
Hooked. But how did you figure this thing out?
Well, the main reason I decided to start getting into shape, my wife had a stroke in 2019. Uh-huh. And while she was kind of recovering, she was in a in-house rehabilitation.
Yeah.
So I was basically on my own. That kind of motivated me to start looking into getting in better shape for her as well as for myself, because I wanted to be around to be able to take care of her. Fast forward about a year, about 2 months, she had to go back. She got out of the the in-house rehab and came home, and I had made changes to, you know, basically where we were living so it would be easier for her.
Yeah.
And she came home, and she was home for about a month, and she wouldn't eat, she wouldn't exercise, she wouldn't move, because she wasn't doing any kind of rehabilitation at that point.
Yeah.
Except they were coming to the house, I think, twice a week.
Yeah.
She had to go back into the hospital, and I was in the hospital at the same time with a heart attack.
Oh, my.
So I got a pacemaker, and it was, I would say, a pretty fast recovery. I was out of work for about 8 months. And during that time, it really made me look at myself and say, okay, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
And I started looking into different exercise programs and started lifting weights with a barbell outside. And I was getting better and getting better, but I kept having these dizzy spells and things, and it was all related to the pace of the heart maker. They had to adjust it over time. Yeah. And so it was really hard for me to keep any kind of routine.
Yeah.
Once they got it set, though, I was able to go back to work, which I had gained about 30 pounds in the 8 months that I had been out of work. And that caused me to lose. I work at a factory, so I'm on my feet for 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
So I lost probably around 10 pounds. And then I subscribed to Fight Fast, and the little ad came on, you know, for older men being able to, you know, gain muscle and things yeah. like that. And yeah. it really resonated with me. I said, okay, you know, I'm going to give this a try. And with my schedule, I wake up about 4 o'clock in the morning, to get ready to work, because I leave by 5. So I said, okay, when I'm on days, because I switch from days to nights every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I said, if I'm on days, then I'm going to have to get up at 3 to yeah. do this. And then when I'm on nights, I can get up, you know, at 1 in the afternoon or 2 in the afternoon and do yeah. it then. So it really depends on what schedule I'm on. But I've relegated that time to, okay, this is something I have to do.
Yeah.
So going through the program, I also threw in a low carb diet, simply because I knew that would get me motivated. I knew it was a better way to lose weight than several other diets that I've tried.
Yeah.
So that, along with the weightlifting, it's just given me unbelievable results.
Let me tell you let's stop you right there, because I think you've given us a good idea. I think that the listeners here should really focus on one of the things that you said that resonates with me, and it's part of my creed, and it needs to be part of anybody's creed that's doing something that is this regimented. Mm-hmm. What you've done is you see, most people, Edwin, are always looking for an excuse to back out, an right. obstacle. I have to get up at 3 in the morning to do my workout. And what you've done, because mind is the most, your thought, your mind is the most powerful thing that we have. In fact, it's probably the most powerful thing in the world. We just haven't learned how to really harness that. You have begun to do that. Is the mindset is the most important thing that you have to develop before any of this stuff will last, have any lasting effect. And so it's important for people to understand what you took a major step when you said, okay, so what? I have to get up at 3 o'clock. The stated goal, and there always has to be a stated goal, the why you're doing something, the mm-hmm. stated goal has to be this. And you had a stated goal. You right. named a few things. The stated goal is a few things that you were doing this for. Very important. You combine that with a mindset that says, I don't give a damn if I have to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning to make this happen. I have to do this. It's that language is, and that action that you took is more powerful than I think, maybe than even that, you know, how powerful that is and what that sets in your DNA to take you forward and to make this something that becomes a lifestyle. Most people don't get to that point. So first of all, kudos to you. And you should, you know, I think sometimes we don't really give ourselves enough credit and pat ourselves on the back just a little bit, because you did something very, very significant in terms of your the progress that you've made and the progress that you're going to get. So from here, then let's continue to move forward. Now, as you're learning how to weightlift, how did that happen? I mean, with me, it was about, you know, when I was in sports, believe it or not, I don't know how old you are, but believe it or not, because I played quarterback, the coaches never let any, they call them the specialty positions, quarterback, running back, wide receivers. You guys don't lift weights because it's going to bound you up and it's going to make you a worse football player. They didn't have enough information back in those days to know that they were completely wrong. But I guess, you know, not doing something, because a lot of coaches did train their athletes the wrong way and they made them stronger, but they made them slower. So in some ways, I think the coaches were smart about that. But on the other hand, they didn't teach me anything about weightlifting. It's the bottom line.
Sure.
So, you know, I had to go out and figure this thing out, trial and error, and in the magazines. So how do you know, fast forward to the age that we're in with YouTube and everything else, how did you learn how to initially start your weight training program?
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Well, it's very funny because I got the Serious Growth book and I read it front to back first thing. I took actually a week to just read the book before I started anything. And then I said, okay, I'm going to need some weights besides the barbells. So I looked online and I talked to some of my friends who were actually in weightlifting at the plant, and they were like, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to get a pair of dumbbells because they're going to give you better mobility doing different exercises. I said, okay. And they said, do you have a weight bench? And I said, well, I've got one outside that has the barbell rack on it. They said, no, get a smaller one that you could just use dumbbells on. And I'm like, okay. So I looked on Amazon and I found the Bowflex Select Track dumbbells that go from 5 pounds up to 52.5 pounds.
Yeah.
And you just dial it in whatever you want. And I said, okay, I've got the dumbbells. Then I got the weight bench, which I love. It's called Maxi Gym or something like that. It's a really compact. You can fold it up and put it away when you're not using it.
Nice.
Which was a plus for me. But it'll hold up to, I think, 500 pounds. So I was like, okay, that'll work. So I ordered those. I got those in, which took another week. And then I was looking at the exercise regimen, and I was trying to decide whether to go the four days a week, once a day. And I said, okay, I'm going to start with that one. I'm going to do the 18 weeks on the 4 days a week, one time a day, and then go from there. See where I'm at the end of 18 weeks.
Yeah.
So I started looking at the exercises and all it said was parts of the body. And I'm like, okay, what exercises do I do? How do I do this?
Yeah.
So I started the different body parts. I Googled what exercises there were for each body part with dumbbells. And they gave you pictures and they gave you videos of doing the exercises. And that's how I evolved into, now I say, okay, biceps, then I can do hammer curls. I can do, you know, straight lifts. Yeah. I can do all of this. But then I had no idea where to start. And that's how I found out what exercises to do and what body parts and what the advantages were to each one, along with talking to my friends at work.
Yeah. Again, you're very resourceful. Another thing that I want to talk about, and this is the part that intrigues me about people like yourself, mm-hmm. is what you have is what I call perfect willingness. Because you're going to be committed to your goal. People have to understand this, that's listening to this, because this is where the real message is as far as I'm concerned. Okay. What you did is you, not only did you state the goal and you were committed to what you were going to do no matter what, but you have perfect willingness. Nothing is going to hold you back. You're going to go find out where that, I tell people sometimes, I say, look, even if you don't know the question to ask, and this seems counterintuitive, maybe it is. So even if you don't know the question, you gotta ask the question. Because if you're just gonna rely on somebody else completely, then you have to suffer that particular consequence, because there may be good and bad in that.
Right. Sure.
And so the real lesson that you're learning, I hope for yourself, and what you're teaching to other people listening to this, is that look, if you really want something, nothing's gonna stop you no matter what. And you have perfect willingness to go out and learn from all and gather information, your fact finding. And then you keep putting stuff into action. Man, you're not going to miss on this. I promise you, because you're doing all the right steps in the beginning. It's kind of like, think of it as building a house. You wouldn't put a roof on the house first before you put the foundation. And
right.
So what you're doing right now is you're building your foundation and your foundation of knowledge, your foundation of the kind of equipment that you need. And you're willing to do whatever it takes to find out that information. Good for you, man. You know, when I was coming through, there wasn't this YouTube and none of that stuff. And
right.
If there was, I was like in the dark about this thing. And in some ways it made it a lot more difficult, because, you know, you had to learn either from the magazine, and the magazine was cool. But I learned years later that when people are writing articles, they're not always being straight with you, you know,
because right. They're getting paid to write whatever there
yeah,
is.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So they really have to kind of filter through all that bull crap, you know? And then you're talking to people in the gym, and look, they're giving you, you know, as good as information as they can. But sometimes in those days for me, it was almost, I got more confused until I got through sort of a phase, because I could ask 5 different people or 10 different people, what's the best diet to go on? Or what's the best training program to do for chest? I could ask 10 people and probably get 10 different answers. It's like, okay, now what?
You right. know what I mean? Yes.
And that's where my buddy Don Ross, who's now gone, they call him the Ripper Ross. He said something that I think that is really important to note, in that he said, every exercise works. And then he just paused, because it made me think like, what? And he said, to a certain degree, but they all work to some degree. So the message he was sending is that you have to go through that process and be a part of your success, instead of just saying, okay, I read the book, I did this, and you really know exactly how to put on muscle. You're far from that.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you've taken the next step. You've gotten the book. Okay, so take me from there. So now you know what exercises to do. So now mm-hmm. what?
Well, I started. And I was a little intimidated by the weights. I was like, okay, what weight do I start out with?
Yeah.
So according to the book, they were like, okay, do as much weight as you can to finish all the reps and finish all the sets.
Yes.
And I said, okay. So I was I was like, okay, well, I'm going to start out. I talked to my buddies at work and they're like, okay, start out with, you know, 45 pounds. I'm like, okay. Yeah. And, I had never lifted weights before or anything. And I put 45 pounds on the weights and I could barely lift them. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work.
Right.
So I went back, to 20 pounds. And I went back to 15 pounds and it was too easy. I was like, okay, I still can do more. I can still, you know, this is not stressing me enough. So I ramped it up to 20 pounds and I was like, okay, then it's actually challenging. By the end, I feel like, okay, I've done something and I could probably do half another set, but I couldn't do a full set.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's where I need to be.
Yeah. That's that process that you're beginning to find out about.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, what's important right there, if I can say to you, cause I say it all the time with people, I say, here's you nailed something. You got something that most people don't get, because that book was written in a way for the people that didn't know where to start. It was like, don't focus on the amount of weight that you can do, because most, especially males, because we have an ego, it's all about like lifting as much weight as you possibly can. You know, that's kind of the general thinking of men compared to the women. And what really matters is that, and we try to simplify that by just saying, just concentrate on the reps. It doesn't matter about the weight, just do the 8 to 10 or 8 to 12 reps. Focus on that and then adjust. That's exactly what you were doing. You were starting to find your way through, but you're focusing on the reps. Very smart. And the other thing I always tell people is keep it simple. You know, when you're training, first of all, and it's very challenging what I'm going to tell you. The ideal goal in a set that you're doing in terms of reps is to feel every single rep that you do. That is way easier said than done. That takes us years in the industry to get that, because we're fighting fatigue. And when you start getting, I don't know if you've ever paid attention to what your mind is doing, but when you're doing the reps, your brain starts going into chaos a little bit. It starts speeding up because it doesn't like being in pain. And you have to be able to control that pain and embrace that and stay in that moment. So it's very difficult to do, but it's something that you should always concentrate on is when you first start out, technically you should have good form, be in good form.
Mm-hmm.
Set yourself up that way, and then feel what you train. That's the best way that I can explain it. Most people, that's the difference between most people weightlift. The ones that really understand how to get the most performance out of muscle, they train the muscle. When you're weightlifting, I would tell you that people that weightlift, and it's a big portion of people, 40% of what they're doing is wasted movement in that whole set, you know what I mean? So so that's the reason why we actually set that up that way, was to start leading you into what I just got through saying. Feel what you train, don't worry about the weight. The misconception in the industry as it relates to bodybuilding and putting on muscle is they think that still to this day, if you ask somebody, what's the best way to put on muscle, lift more weight or do more reps? Most people will say lift more weight. And that's absolutely specifically not true. Volume training is for putting on muscle. It's the main result that you get from volume training or benefit. Secondary benefit with volume training is that you're going to get stronger as you go. I'm sure that you noticed that with yourself. As you were doing the more reps, you kept getting stronger. But it's still the exercise program was still based in volume. Now, when you're doing strength training, lifting heavy weight, then the main benefit that you get is getting stronger, where the secondary benefit is putting on muscle. Do you see the difference in that? It's the priority of that. So that's the reason why it's always important for you to ask yourself, what is it that I'm trying to do? Am I trying to put on more muscle, improve muscle recovery and endurance, or am I trying to get stronger, essentially?
Right.
You know, these are some of the things that people make mistakes on. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Oh yeah, and I noticed during the first super growth phase, when it was lower reps and more time in between sets, that I was wanting more. I was like, okay, if I'm gonna be doing lower reps and more time, then I can adjust the weight a little bit higher.
Right.
And I tried that, and I was like, okay, this makes sense to me, because I can actually feel what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So when I'm lifting weights, I actually concentrate on trying to concentrate on the muscle that I'm training.
Perfect.
Instead of, you know, thinking about something else or thinking about, okay, one more, one more, one more. Right. I'm just trying to think about, okay, what am I doing? To try to get it, I guess, to get the correct form, to actually feel the muscle that I'm training.
Yeah, that's smart.
If that makes any sense.
No, it's that you're totally on the right path. I think it's important that you understand that you're making the right decision and you're being very intuitive about that. Okay, but I got to tell you something. As you get down the road, you're basically a novice in this in this conversation compared to somebody like me who has been around 1,000 years and done a gazillion reps. And I will tell you this, because I've had people call me on this before. You know, I trained with Tom Platz, and this is kind of where I learned this, feel what you train. I say that when you first start, it's kind of like building that house, you make sure that you mechanically that your form is on the money, okay? Now, once you've done that, and that takes time, Edwin, years, to get that perfect and to feel everything that you're training. That's kind of like one phase that you should be really focusing on right now. Okay, as it relates to putting on muscle. But when you get down the road, I don't know if you've seen any of the Costa Platz workouts where I was training with Tom Platz.
I have. Yes.
Okay. You'll see sometimes that there's a lot of loose style training. And I've had people say, well, look at how bad that form and technique is. But what they don't understand is in that bad form and technique, we are feeling everything that we're in that muscle group that we're training. What we're doing with loose style training is to, instead of lightening the weight, in other words, breaking that set down or those reps down, we start loosening our style up and our technique without hurting ourselves to extend that set to take the body further into fatigue. That's what advanced people know how to do. To the novice, to the person that's untrained, they go, well, look at that, it's horrible form. I've had people tell me that. So again, I'm just trying to make that point that what you're doing is the right place to start. You certainly wouldn't want to go out and do some of the things that Tom Platz and I did, because you'd hurt yourself.
Right.
You know,
definitely.
And the form, it looks like it's not the right form, but that's the most important thing is that you feel what you train, because what you'll find is when you feel what you train, your form of technique is good enough to where you're not going to hurt yourself. You're not exposing yourself like you think you might. Anyway. Okay, so you're on the right track. So tell me that, okay, as you're figuring this thing out, are there any sort of mental or physical obstacles now that you're feeling like maybe you're coming up against?
Not as of yet. I have a fused cervical some fused spine links in my neck. And so I try, it all goes back to form. When I'm doing, bent over rows,
yeah,
I try not to lift up my head, because I've done that. When I first started, I was like, okay, like this. And okay, no, if I keep it straight, then my neck doesn't hurt.
Right.
So I guess it's a learning process. I'm just learning how to work with what I've got to be able to do the exercises to where I'm not hurting myself, and I'm building. I'm learning and progressing as I go.
Yeah, and you're being very smart about. You're doing all the right things. You're paying attention to your body. You're listening to what your body is saying. Your body is communicating with you 24/7. It's up to you to learn how to listen to it, because there's so many times that I was that person that kept overriding what my body was saying, because you get into this mindset sometimes that can benefit you, but it can also hurt you. You know, I'd get so entrenched and into this mindset that I did get hurt, you know. But here's the thing, it's not a question of if you're going to get hurt, but when, as you continue to stay in it and to challenge yourself, because you have to walk, and it's all relative to where you're at, by the way, you have to walk on that line where you're just on the edge, but you're not too far on the edge so where you fall over the other side. And
right.
that's tricky, because even though you got to be there, there's, you know, you're just right there, and you got to be careful. And sometimes bodybuilders, it happens to them all the time, because we get so damn You know, it's just like we're our own worst enemies, and yet the mindset is exactly what we need, and that determination is exactly what we need in order to make progress. So you're in that stage right now where there's a lot of stuff that you need to figure out.
Right. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
One of the things, since we're doing on the programs, there's so much back exercises.
Yeah.
And I've found that my upper back is so tight all the time now.
Yeah.
Even when I'm not lifting weights. So I've never been to a masseuse before, but I'm seriously considering it.
Yeah.
just to kind of loosen my back a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think it'll actually help my training. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I think what you need to do is, again, this is a part of you fact finding, you know, at this stage of the game, I would say you try that. I would, you know, if I told you, oh, hell no, don't go do that, I would tell you that, by the way. I think that that's a good option to see, and then you make the final call on that, because ultimately you have to do that. You have to figure that out. Wow, I went to the masseuse one or two times. It didn't work. So that's, okay, I'm going to put that as a side over here. Maybe I'll come back to it. I think what I might do, I know what I might do is for my back, for example, I might just, before I do an actual working set, I don't like warming up, but I don't consider what I'm telling you a warm-up set. If I had to do a set of eight, let's just say that the program calls for 8 to 12 on this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What I might do in the beginning is I would just do a set for 20 reps, maybe two for 20 reps before I actually went into the working set. In this case, the set that's actually written in the book. I'm only doing that because I'm trying to address my tight back. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
And then I'd go into my working set, and I would try that because I'm a big believer that you don't have to warm up. You teach your body what you want it to do, but your body is communicating to you. This is where you make a call, modify on the fly, I call that. You say, look, okay, my back's tight, either I'm going to go to a masseuse, or maybe I can just do this as a part of my training, and maybe all I need in those first couple sets is just to do 20 reps. And I want you to do as much weight as you can, but you're still focusing on the 20 reps. So it's not like you're just kind of like, you know, strolling along in the park when you're doing cardio. No, it's a working set. It's just that it's higher reps to see if we can get those muscles just to kind of loosen up and then go into your working set. It would be more of like an active recovery move within a training set. I don't want to confuse you, but that's an advanced move that you might want to try.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good to me.
See how that works for you. You know, so let me ask you this now. Obviously, when it comes to changing the body in the most effective way, most efficient way, you need to incorporate, there's three things for sure. A fourth thing develops as a result of the three components I'm going to talk about. You need to manipulate and implement all at the same time in a certain order. It's like a dance, three components: weight training or resistance training, cardiovascular conditioning, and nutrition. Those are the three components that you always have to have in your program, no matter what the goal is. It doesn't matter if you're doing it for bodybuilding, strength training, it doesn't matter. It all comes down to that. The fourth component I'm talking about is mindset. And for me personally, I think that mindset develops as a result of the repetitions and the regimen that I develop and build and hold myself accountable to. I think the mindset, it develops because of that reason. So you could say there's four components, but three components: weight training, cardio, nutrition. Now, as it relates to that, it sounds like you're starting to get a handle on your weight training side of it.
Right.
What do you do for cardio?
Not much. Okay. To be honest with you, I really have not even looked into cardio. When I work at the Toyota plant here in San Antonio, and so I'm on a moving line, and we go from truck to truck, and I do one of the things that I do is the engine inspection. So I'm leaning over and I'm twisting and I'm turning. And when the trucks, you only have a minute to check each truck, and then you go to the next truck.
Yeah.
So I usually it builds up my heart rate enough to the point where, okay, I'm basically doing cardio when I'm at work, when the line's moving.
Yeah.
But I have not really looked at any outside sources of cardio. Okay.
And no. I think your rationale is sound because you are doing cardio at that point. When cardio changes is when, and you probably know this, is when your heart rate in exercise, when you're exercising so hard that your body can't keep up with it. That's basically anaerobic conditioning. That's weight training because you at some point you get winded, you got to rest to recover.
Mm-hmm.
Anything less than that is basically aerobic conditioning because your body can keep up with the exercise. A good rule of thumb with cardio is that if you can hold a conversation with the person next to you, if you're on a treadmill or whatever, you're doing cardio. If you can't, your body has switched to anaerobic conditioning and your body is now burning sugar. And this is a problem that a lot of people have because they have the going harder gets me more result. That doesn't work when it comes to cardio, because think about this. If you're doing cardio, you have to have a stated goal, and it's to burn fat. And another reason, and I'm going to talk to you about that as it relates to what we're talking about, is the stated goal is to burn body fat. Well, in order for that to happen, you need to be aerobically conditioning, okay, for your body to actually utilize more fat in that exercise. So okay. You can see that when you're going too hard, like maybe sprinting all out, and you're calling that cardio, well, remember this, your body switches over from aerobic, because this is what your physiology does, it switches over from burning and utilizing fat as its energy source or a large degree, and it starts burning sugar, it starts burning carbohydrate, so you're not getting the benefit that you think you are for fat burning when you're right. going too hard. Now, the other way that you can utilize, and here's what my recommendation would be to you. I don't know if you have any, it sounds like you maybe don't have like a treadmill or a bike or a stationary bike or anything like that. Is that right?
No. Okay. No, I don't.
All right. So here's what I would suggest to you. And this would go to helping possibly what's going on with your body tightening up. I would say, even though you're doing all this walking at your job, we count that. We count that as cardio. But I would say after a workout, I would do a 10 to 15 minute walk. It doesn't have to be a hard walk, but it has to be a walk that's, let's just call it brisk. How about that?
Okay.
Okay. Not strolling, not you know, power walking, somewhere in between that. I would call it a brisk walk.
Okay.
I would do that, especially with your back training, just to see. So we got a couple of solutions here going on with the high reps before you go into working. But I would use cardio in this case as a measure of if my body is responding and I'm feeling maybe slightly overtrained, maybe that's the case. A walk after your workout will speed up recovery. We call that active recovery. So all I'm really pointing out here, Edwin, is learning how to use the tools that you have in your tool chest to your best benefit,
right?
And address, in this case, specifically your back that's tightening up. Let's just see. And I would give that anything that you do, you need to do as a regiment to really be able to analyze objectively. You need to do it for 3 weeks, 21 days. Okay.
Okay.
And then you can just say, look, then you start saying, nope, that worked, that didn't work. That worked, that didn't work. Down the road, then everything that you're doing is going to be working. And that's
right.
That's exactly what you want. So I would do that when you're training. I don't know that you have to do it. How many days are you training? 4 days a week?
I'm training four. I was doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I found that Mondays were really hard to get back into it once I took 3 days off.
Yeah.
So now I'm doing Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday, Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way I used to do that, same way. I would just say that at least do 3 days of that after the workout, 10 to 15 minute walk.
Okay.
At least do three, and 4 days, there's nothing wrong with doing 4 days. So let's just, you know, we want to come up with some ideas here for the people that are listening in case they're experiencing the same thing that Edwin is, that there are some tools that we're using to maybe help this process. I mean, my job as a trainer has always been to shorten the learning curve for you. And we wrote these training courses for that very same purpose, because a lot of people didn't know exactly what to do. And our goal was to try to create a system that you could follow to some degree to get you to shorten that curve. That's basically all we're talking about here. Okay.
Right.
So that's cardio and learning how to use that. And I would also, what I would do is when you're doing your cardio, if at all, if you can actually monitor your heart rate, in other words, check your heart rate after 5 minutes, stop. If you have a watch, all you have to do is count your heart rate for 6 seconds and then add a zero to whatever number you get. So okay. If your heart beats 7 times, that's 70 beats per minute. That's an easy way to get to your heart rate. I'm okay. Very curious, and I want you to reach back out to us because I want to know that number. I don't okay. know what kind of shape your heart's in, but you need to aerobically be in good shape in order to tolerate the kind of workouts in weight training. That's why I'm asking you, you know, if you're doing any cardio. As long as right. your cardio system is fine, okay. I do just enough cardio to burn body fat without burning lean weight. So this is I guess the reason why I'm explaining myself, because I want you to understand there's a purpose and a reason why I do everything.
Right.
So let's just do that as part of your homework, if you will.
Okay.
Okay. So what are you doing with your third component, your nutrition? What's happening?
Nutrition. Basically, I eat every 2 hours.
Okay.
The thing that I do, when I get up, all I take is the Serious Growth supplement and I work out.
Okay.
After I work out, I typically eat, 2 boiled eggs and, a couple of bites of deli meat, some sort of meat, some mm-hmm. sort of protein. And then I go to work. I have a break on average every 2 hours. So it's very easy for me. First break, I eat 2 boiled eggs. Second break is lunch. So I typically eat about 4 ounces of meat and 3 ounces of just salad, not with dressing or anything, just either just lettuce or the Italian with the different types of lettuce and carrots and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then the next 2 hours, I eat usually an avocado.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with the restaurant chain of Olive Garden.
Yes, I am.
Okay, they put out an Olive Garden Italian dressing, and it only, for 2 tablespoons, it's only 1 carb, 1 gram of carbs.
Good to know.
So usually I eat a whole avocado with 2 tablespoons of Italian dressing on it for a snack.
Yeah.
And then if we get another break, if we're going into overtime, then I eat, it's my mixture of peanuts, Spanish peanuts, macadamia nuts, and sunflower seeds.
Okay.
And just eat some of those, just to give me a little more energy to go through the day.
Is that your last meal or do you have dinner?
When I'm on days, I have dinner.
What does that look like?
Lately, my wife has been cooking very consciously of what I'm eating. 'Cause I told her, you know, this is what I want to do. So for example, the night before last, we had spaghetti squash with a meat sauce and no bread or anything. Mm-hmm. And then she's been trying different salads. The salad that I love, that I didn't think I would, was just baby arugula. And then she uses a mixture of olive oil and white wine vinegar for a dressing with horseradish. Mixed in.
Okay.
Chopped fresh horseradish.
So how many days a week would you say you do that with your wife like that?
It's for 2 weeks. Okay. Probably every day we eat some sort of dinner unless she's not hungry. Right. And then I'll eat a boiled egg or something like that. Just to have something.
Okay. So here, let me dissect and break down what you're doing for the people that are listening to us and for you. You have 2 different metabolisms in the body. You have a free fatty acid metabolism and you have a glucose metabolism. 2 different metabolisms. They do not function at the same time. And the difference between the two is in the way they utilize energy. Okay. Now, what you've been telling me and the way you eat primarily is what I would call a free fatty acid metabolism. Your body is utilizing free fatty acids, breaking it down into it's breaking it down into fat to use for energy. Okay, your carbohydrates are very low. Now, what happens with, and I'd have to analyze this, and I will, I'll offer that to you. We'll talk about that later. Then when you're having spaghetti and those kinds of things, you might be crossing the 30 grams of carbohydrate.
Well, not pasta spaghetti. It's spaghetti squash.
Okay, so you're not, it sounds to me that.
No, like, it's still no, it's very, very low carbs. I don't need any bread or anything like that.
Okay, so I misunderstood you then. So you're on a free fatty acid metabolism. You're on a high fat, low carbohydrate diet. So your body's your body's using fat as its main energy source. Very good. Actually, that kind of a diet was actually one of my favorite ones when I was competing. I got the best results from eating that kind of a diet. I mean, I've eaten different ways. So too many people screw that diet up because the carbohydrate intake gets above 30 grams per day. And that's not even an issue as long as you're not eating more than 30 grams a day for 2 days in a row. Maybe you know that because it takes that long. A third day is if you eat carbohydrates for 3 days in a row, then your body will switch its metabolism back over to glucose. So people think they're on a high fat diet and they're really not because of that reason. Okay. And yet if you only did it for 2 days consecutively, even though you're eating carbs for 2 days, and it doesn't matter how many carbs, your body's metabolism doesn't switch over. So you're still in a high fat functioning metabolism. Okay.
Okay.
So you're doing so many damn things right. and I'm no, seriously. I mean, I this is what I deal with all the time. And you're doing a lot of the things right. Hopefully that gives you some comfort that you're on the right track.
It does, because many times I've wondered, okay, well, I can tell you when I started the program, I weighed 210 pounds.
Yeah.
And now I'm down to 180.
There you go.
And I feel so much better. I mean, I feel more energetic. I feel like I've got more strength at work. And my mental clarity is better as well.
Amazing.
Which I hadn't even considered that would happen.
Yeah, and I don't want to get into controversy here, but on a high-fat diet, it's actually better for your cholesterol than eating a higher diet in carbohydrates. It's counterintuitive. They go crazy over this thing, but you're actually on a better diet to make sure that your cholesterol is actually better. Carbohydrates is actually the culprit, because your body can only handle so much carbohydrate before it stores it as a triglyceride. And the triglyceride, when it gets above 500, that's where your problems are. It's not the fat that you're taking in. Most people don't get that. I don't want to go there. I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
You're on the right track. You know, and here's what I want to offer you as we're wrapping up. And listen, the fact that you've made the progress that you have is huge. You've lost how many pounds of weight? I need a calculator for everything now.
30 pounds.
30 pounds. And how many months?
In I'm on week 8 of the training.
Okay, and Kara, do the math on that. 30 pounds
about 2 months. Yeah.
Yeah, 2 months, 30 pounds. How much is that a month? Is that 15 or week? Ideally, what you want to do, because I've been diet. What's that, Kara? 3 to 4 pounds a week. A week or a month? A week. That's not bad. It's a little high. Because when you start losing too much, you start losing lean weight. I'm here to try to get you to protect all that hard work that you're doing in the gym. Okay. And if you lose, normally what you'd want to do, Edwin, is lose 1 to 2 pounds a week. It's slower, but it spares your lean weight. If you go too aggressive, and I've done it for getting ready for bodybuilding shows because I was behind. I was willing to sacrifice the lean weight. So my point is I did it for a reason. It wasn't the best reason, but where I was at, I was behind. Anyway,
right.
If you got time, 1 to 2 pounds a week, that'll spare your lean weight. Other than that, congratulations on the results that you're getting, okay? You're doing something that most people don't do, can't do, don't want to do, just they like the idea of it. My challenge to you is make it a lifestyle. Never, never cave into that.
Right.
And I understand that sometimes, you know, when you get so regimented that it makes other people uncomfortable because they're not on the same wavelength. So I'm not telling you get a divorce over this stuff by any means, you know, but you know, my challenge to you is now figure out how to make this a lifestyle to where it's just something that Edmund does as part of his daily routine. It's not something that you have to, even though you're making a sacrifice because you're holding yourself accountable, that's a sacrifice. Nothing wrong with that. It builds your mind and body. So what? But my challenge for you is never, never cave or give in to making this thing a lifestyle, because I can tell you this, I've been doing this for 40 years. I had three strokes. I don't know if you know that. I had three strokes in 3 weeks. It paralyzed me 10 years ago. We all overcome stuff. Look, we all have our story. The point that I'm trying to make is this. If you stay in the game now with your training and start perfecting these three components, you have no freaking idea how you're going to feel down the road. You're just getting into the how you're going to feel.
Right.
So what I'd like to offer to you, and before we leave, and I want you to, you know, if you have anything else that you want to talk about, please do. But what I want to offer to you is I want Kara to send you a food journal where you document everything that you're eating. Okay. I want to analyze your diet for you. No charge. I just want to make sure that I know that you're on the right path, but we can tailor this thing down to make it even better for you.
Okay.
So my, if you're up for it, we'll send you this 4 day. I want you to actually fill out for 7 days how you're currently eating everything. It seems like it's going to be pretty easy. I'll analyze that for you, and then we'll have another conversation. It'll be on the phone, or you might deal with Kara because she knows everything about nutrition. She has her own clientele, so she can, you know, she can certainly guide you in exactly the way that you need to be guided. Okay. Aside from that, is there anything else that maybe that I haven't brought out that you would like to say about your experience so far?
Well, since I've been doing this program and feeling better, and people tell me I'm looking better, I'm like, okay, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But the main thing that I've now that I'm looking forward to as I reach like almost the halfway point in the program is, okay, what am I going to do when it's over? So that's, I am actually considering going to the 6 day a week, one time a day, after this program ends, because I want to progress. I want to keep going.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, okay, it's done. Now I can eat whatever I want. Right. Now I can do whatever I want. I don't want to do that.
Right.
So, that's, and the main issue that I have right now is losing belly fat and love handles, as they call them.
That's right.
So now I'm looking into ab routines on top of the weight training program.
Right.
Would you, is that a good thing or not?
If you, I would say it could be. I'm gonna give you a really vague answer, and I hate that, but I'll qualify it.
Okay.
Unless you are abdominals are muscle. Okay. Remember that.
Right.
So the misconception is that when you do more ab work, that you're going to burn more body fat. Based on what I just said to you, does that make any sense? If you put on so much abdominals that it increases the ratio between muscle and fat, yes, you will burn a little body fat. But I would tell you that unless you're weak in the abdominals, if you don't have any abs, I would do abs maybe after your training sessions a couple times a week. I would do 3 or 4 sets of 15 to 20 reps. Leave it at that. Because here's what happens. People do too many abs, especially like the side abs and all that, side crunches, and they end up building the area because they're building their muscle. It's muscle, not
right.
fat. Okay, so your fat reduction is going to come through calorie reduction. It's going to come through doing some cardio. It's going to come through you not yo-yoing now with your weight and going up and down. You need to stay down because you have to give your body a chance to start tightening down again. and not fluctuating. You don't know how far back you're going to get because we lose some of the elastin in our skin. But that doesn't mean that you don't see where that, you know, how far back you can get. But you have to, so I would say, again, just to be clear, do some abdominals. Don't get crazy. You don't need to do that. Focus on nutrition, some cardio, and time. Give it some time.
Right.
And see where it goes from there. Otherwise, I wanted to mention something to you. You said something that I want to maybe put into perspective. You said, okay, where do I go from here? Edwin, there's never a finish line. Never. There's never, in my view, there's never a finish line in life. It's not a finish line. You make an adjustment. You go do your, like what you're talking about, for a while and do another style of training, or increase your weight, increase your repetitions, the kinds of exercises that you're doing. Come back to what you started with, because you'll find that when you go away from what you're doing now after 18 weeks and do something else and come back and do this very same routine, you're going to be a lot more productive inside this routine that you're doing right now, because your body's going to make a lot of progress when you go to something else. There's no finish line ever. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that you finished anything. You just finished that thing to go on to another thing. But this is part of what I'm talking about, is making this thing something that is just part of your routine until the day you die, baby.
Right. It's just a journey. It's not, it's just stepping stones.
That's exactly right. And I really think, after having this conversation with you, and just because of the fact that you're doing so many things right, I don't think you're going to miss on this. I really don't. But don't get cocky. I always tell my people, don't get cocky.
Right. Right?
Don't get cocky.
I can't.
Yeah. Hold yourself accountable. You know, pat yourself on the back and okay, good. Go on with it. Don't rest on your laurels. That's all I can tell you.
Right. Yeah. One of my goals, as of right now, is to have six pack abs by next June.
Yes.
So that's basically a mini goal that I've set for myself. And if I can get there, you know, through the exercise and through, you know, the eating the way that I'm supposed to be eating, like I'm eating now, and, you know, whatever suggestions you can add after I do the journal, then that's fine.
Yes.
But that is a mini goal. And if I don't reach it, then I'll say, okay, by December. I'm not gonna say, okay, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and just stop.
I think that's smart. And I just want to, you know, we have sometimes we're not even aware of how we talk to ourselves, the language that we talk to ourselves. And I want to say to you that if is a really, it's a possibility that you won't reach your goal. Okay. But I want to say to you this in a different way. I said something like this to a friend of mine this morning, and I was going through it was a dark time in my life. And I said at that moment, I said, it's not where you start. This is when I was in the middle of a dark time in my life, because we all have them. Everybody's going to go through them. It's not if, but when. But I said at that moment, Edwin, I said, it's not where you start, Leo. I'm talking to myself at that point. It's how you finish, and not even where you finish. It's how you finish. That was more powerful to me. And I've never let off that. And it's taken a long time. And I can tell you something right now. In the state of life, the part of life that I'm in, I've never been in this is the spot that I thought I might be in when I said that a long time ago. Okay. So it's not just because you say that you're going to reach something doesn't mean that you will. Mm-hmm. But I would say that it's not if you're going to get those abs, it's when. And there's nothing else that you'll be satisfied with. And I would just say, leave it right there. When you get to that point, you're not going to quit. It's just that you're making sure that you're making that 100% commitment right now, even though you don't know what the future brings and how that's going to work. It doesn't matter. When I was paralyzed from having my strokes, I went to a physical therapist that said he wanted to get me functional. And after he said that word, after that first consultation, I never went back again, because my goal was to be 100%. He was way off. His expectations were, well, if. That's how I took that. So you make a commitment that, no, I'm going to have abs by this time, come hell or high water. Right. I don't know if you see the distinction. You have the motivation and you're going to do it. Just, I want you to be just a little more committed to that goal and go for it.
Okay.
If it doesn't happen in June, hey, regroup, come up with a new game plan and go again. There's no finish line.
Sure. Definitely. Right. I'm all in.
I know you are. Listen, I appreciate you coming on the show. I think that our listeners will get a lot out of this a program based on what you've done so far. Seriously. I'm going to say it again. You've done so many things the right way. And I think that people can learn from that. You know,
I hope so.
No, they can. It's not hope. They can if they want to. Okay. I'm telling them that what you're doing, you're on the right path. You're okay. Just, you know, moments away from success. It's going to take you forever to get there. All right.
Okay.
Anyway, listen, I appreciate you coming on. We'll send over the journal to you and then let's take the next step together.
All right. Thank you so much.
Right on, man. Take care. All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart,